The Ringer Wrestling Show is getting you closer to all things pro wrestling. The Masked Man Show with David and Kaz drops every Thursday on the feed, along with a new show hosted by pro wrestling superfan Evan Mack called Mack Mania. Plus, hear instant reactions to all the biggest WWE pay-per-view events with our post-pay-per-view shows. Check out The Ringer Wrestling Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
What's the weather right now?
Right, if I just see outside now, outside of my house, after 10 minutes, I need to take my shirt off.
Oh my gosh. Hi everyone, welcome to this bonus episode of Righty's House on Ringer FC. Firstly, hope you're all safe and well. Today, we've got something very special as we are going to be joined by Hector Bellerin to talk about this weekend's El Gran Derby between Betis and Sevilla. It was a fiery one. We're also going to talk about life in Sevilla, playing for Betis and loads more. And joining me is Ryan Hun and Hector Bellerin. I'm so happy you're here, Hector. I'm just so glad that everything's seems to be going well. You're playing so well just now. You know what's really cool about it as well? Is because I'm constantly checking in just to see how you're doing, because obviously you're deep. You're in with me. You're deep.
Thank you.
So bro, I'm just pleased that it's going well, man. But Jesus Christ, bro, this fucking derby, man.
Yeah, I know. I was like, when you told me that you wanted to do this podcast, and then after everything happened, I was like, he's picked the right one, man. we got a lot to talk about here.
Can I say, because I've looked back, I was looking at videos, I'm reading some stuff and that, but this derby, I didn't realize, and I've seen like derbies and the way they've been built up, and like whether it's Argentina, Italy, everybody. Yeah. What I've seen with Sevilla and Betis is as intense and as I've ever seen, man. I didn't realize, man.
It's different. My friend from London came to the first derby that we played this year, and he couldn't believe it. He's like, what are all these people doing outside the stadium 3 hours before with flares? And like, it's crazy. I mean, this is a city that's a pretty small city, and the rivalry obviously has been going on since back in the day. And this is a religion for people. Like, people that are Betis fans, won't have a red jumper, won't wear it, you know?
Wow.
If they walk past the Sevilla stadium, they will look the other way. They don't want to look at it. It's honestly, you think it's a joke, but I remember when I first got my car here in Seville, I was speaking to the guy and I was like, oh, you got kids and stuff? And he's like, yeah, I got two kids. And I was like, are they Betis fans? And he was like, they don't have no other choice. When they were young, I told them that Santa Claus only brought presents to the Betis kids. So I was like, yo, this is emotional. This is emotional stuff. You can't do that. But this is how deep it runs in people's blood here. And it's obviously so beautiful to see, also to be a part of it.
For people who maybe are casual viewers of La Liga and the global audience, El Clasico is like the one that everyone checks in for twice a year, maybe. Yeah. Like, speaking personally, El Gran Derby is the best derby in Spain. As someone who obviously went to London really young, but Betis is a family thing for you. How was it playing in that first one? Because you've just done the second one. We'll talk about the second one a little bit because it was a little bit mad. But how was it, obviously, getting away from London for a little bit, going back to Seville, family-wise, you personally, because that must have meant a lot.
It was honestly one of the best experiences because, as I say, it's the week before, you know? I mean, we experienced it in the North London derby and, you know, if you have Tottenham fans that are friends of yours and the week before, there's already like a bit of chat and even the Arsenal fans, you know, on social media nowadays, come on, ready for the derby and all of this. But in this city, it's like you cannot walk in the streets the week before or the week after, especially if you lose, you know. But it was just, everyone talked about it. I remember when Dani Ceballos, he's a big Betis supporter as well. Yeah. He used to show me videos and we always used to talk about like one day we need to play for Betis together, you know?
Yeah.
We always imagined it will be later on in our years, but for me it happened to be now. But he always used to send me videos of like even open training sessions the day before the game and 40,000 people turning up to an open training session and stuff like this. And then the way to the stadium, you know, when you're in the bus. And the funny thing is like our hotel is literally 1 minute away from the stadium. On derby day, it's 15 minutes away. Because everything is so crowded. Everyone is just smashing on the bus. There's flares everywhere. People on the streets, like, it's completely different. As I say, when my friend from the UK came, he could not believe it, what was going on. And then obviously, once you walk into the stadium, at Betis here, they sing the anthem. And I have to say, not because I'm here right now, but because I've been a Betis fan, but I've never heard a stadium sing like that ever. And when my family came for the first game here, and it wasn't a derby, we were playing, I think it was against Espanyol, my granddad is not even a Betis fan, and my granddad was crying.
Oh, no, no,
because the harmonies, like you see everyone with their hands up, with their scarf, it's completely different. And everyone that has come from the UK to watch a game here, they feel that the energy that they felt in the stadium has, they've never lived like that before. Mm. It feels really pure and really unique, you know? And obviously the first derby for me, it wasn't the best. I mean, we got our man down, sent off after 44 minutes. And then I scored an own goal. It was my first, I think it was my first own goal in my career. And I was like, why do I have to do it today? And I also got, I scored a goal and it was offside. So I was like, I guess I was just hungry for a goal, man. If I couldn't score it in one goal, I had to score it in the other.
Does it get on top, Hector? If you see, like, for instance, that was your first game and you scored the own goal. What's it like in the streets? Are the people like crazy, or is it just like fine? Is it okay?
I mean, it was tough. It was tough. The Betis support, Betis hasn't been at the top as it is today for a really long time. You know, Betis was in second division only like 6-7 years ago. So is a fan base that is not used to being at the top, and I mean that in the best of ways. Yeah. Like when you lose, they still support you, and what they always ask you in every single game is just give everything you have. Yeah. We'll win, we'll lose, but if they see you breaking your face in that game, literally, they'll be fine.
Wow.
You know? And that's how it works over here. And one of the sentences that they always use is "Viva el Betis, man que pierda," which means long life to Betis, even if they lose.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I was seeing that as well, Hector, and like the Sevilla fans were teasing, because obviously I asked Ryan before, can you compare it to the way Liverpool and Everton are?
Yeah.
Is that a good comparison?
I think it's a good comparison. I would even go further to say as like Celtic and Rangers.
Wow.
You know? Because I think there's obviously like religion involved in the Scottish derby, but I think the way people live football in this city is very comparable to how people live it day to day. And I mean, as I say, it's just for me, obviously scoring that own goal wasn't my best moment, but even then, I was thinking it would be way worse, but all I got was support, man. Because also we have to say, like, I mean, we're seeing third at the table now, which like for Betis, it had been a long time since that happened. Mm. And we're playing good football. The fans are enjoying every single game at the stadium, you know, back from COVID. And they see that the team is like responding really well and even going further from the expectations. So at the end of the day, even though if it's the derby, they know that it's one game. And this one was different because this one was in the cup and one was going to get eliminated, you know? So it had that little bit more of like motivation, if there is for this kind of game. But even though, as I say, that game didn't go our way, even personally or as a team, it was so enjoyable, man, because those are the games, like, and right, you can say that those are the games that you want to play.
Exactly. As a football player. And you want to win, because I know that Arsenal and Spurs, the main thing is leading into that week, it's all different. Your energy is different. Because you know what it means to them to not lose, and you don't want to lose. But you see, with my comparison with Liverpool and Everton, I was kind of trying to make that comparison because they've won so much, especially the Europa League and Betis.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, I was trying to find out if that's the kind of comparison how their fans feel towards Betis fans. They feel like they're far superior.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is something that has only been in the last decade. Because before, I think it used to be more even. And I would say even in the 2000s, Betis used to be on top because Betis used to be in the Champions League. I remember they beat Chelsea 1-0 back in the day. I think it was 2005, something like that. But it's true that in the past 10 years, they've won a few UEFA Cups and they've done really well. I mean, they've managed the club really well in terms of signings as well. They've had three good players like Dani Alves, you know, Ivan Rakitic that went back. So definitely done really well in that sense. So now they can see that we're coming, you know, that it was something that I guess like how Arsenal saw Tottenham before, you know, where it was like, oh, we're only playing Tottenham. I remember, right, people of your generation used to say that, you know, we're only playing Tottenham, maybe it's a derby, but we know we're going to win, you know. And I feel like they used to see us in that light, and now they know it's not that way. And I feel in the last derby, the one in the cup, you could tell that they didn't play the best game because they knew we were coming for them, and that's how it happened.
Wow.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hector sporting a lovely kind of semi-scabbing, bleeding top lip.
Yeah, yeah.
Top lip, man.
After a bit of a whack on Saturday.
Yeah, big one.
Jesus.
We were talking about the derby a little bit, and for those who weren't aware, there was the Copa del Rey edition of it this weekend, which started on Saturday, finished on Sunday.
Finished on Sunday, yeah.
It was like a cricket test.
It's going to be like a football pub quiz in the future. It's just like,
what
derby started on Saturday, finished on Sunday? Papu Gomez scored a lovely opener. Neville Fekir scored what the Spanish call an Olympic goal, right?
Olympic goal,
straight from a corner.
Yeah.
And then all hell broke loose.
And then,
Duran Jordan got hit with a piece of, like, what was it, like a plastic panel or something?
Like a long, kind of long rulery kind of thing. I don't know what it was.
There's two versions of it. One says it's like a PVC stick that someone threw, but they also say that there's a chance that it's like from a flag that they wave, like, at the back of the goal. A bit of it literally broke and went into his head. No one knows what's happened. The police are involved and there's like videos that they cannot show and stuff, but there's an investigation going on about it. But it was literally like a plastic stick that fell on his head.
And then you guys were hanging around on the pitch for a bit.
We were hanging around the pitch because it looked like the guy was fine, but then all of a sudden there was a lot of talk in that technical area. You know, I don't want to get too controversial here, but
no. For those who want to know more about it and read quote unquote both sides, just go on Twitter and have a little Google.
Go on Twitter, yeah.
But then all of a sudden, the guy wasn't doing well, so they said he had a concussion. Yeah, a bit harder than a concussion. Actually, I wouldn't know how to translate it right now. But
wow,
like a brain trauma. They said right.
Yeah. So the game had to be called off at the time. They were saying that probably they were going to give the game to Seville because it had to happen on our stadium. They were going to say it was going to happen maybe in a few weeks, but then they opted to resume it the day after. And I mean, I was unlucky enough that, I suffered like a really big bang in that game. And to be fair, you know how it is, like with adrenaline and stuff like that, you don't feel nothing, you know. When that happens, you just
feel
play.
It, yeah.
But when I woke up literally yesterday morning, I just couldn't move. I was in bed and like my whole neck was hurting. I had headache all over my head because of the bang. My mouth was still bleeding. I was losing a lot of blood because I didn't get stitches. So it was opening literally the whole time. And I really wanted to play, but I also had to make the decision where I was like, do I play in these conditions or, you know, do I, with the possibility to let the team down, you know, because, you know, it's such an important game. So with the coach, we make the decision that for me to rest. And it was sad, you know, because it was a complete different game than the first derby. Literally, we pressed them so well. They didn't have a chance apart from the goal.
Yeah.
And everything was happening. The stadium was literally with us in every single step of the game. And it was just beautiful. And you also feel sad that, you know, the people that from all over Spain, because Betis is a team that supports all over Spain, that, you know, pay for the ticket, they fly over just to watch this game. And then they can only watch 40 minutes of the game and then they have to go. And then we have to play behind closed doors. So it was all a bit difficult and, you know, not in the best scenario. But obviously for us, the important thing also is that we got the win finally yesterday, almost 24 hours after the kickoff. But yeah, obviously really happy because also Betis hadn't beat Sevilla in a few years. And and as I say, we're just getting closer and closer to them. And you can feel that on the pitch and off the pitch. And the whole Betis family was really happy with the result.
So pleased.
Not a bad time for football in Seville, man.
It's like, really not. We're seeing second and third,
Yeah.
I can't even remember the last time that happened, like when both of you two were in the final.
It must have been really long. And I remember Joaquin was saying, obviously Joaquin is the legend here at the club, he was saying that...
How old is Joaquin now? Just quick for the listeners.
I think he's around 40 now.
Wow.
Last season, right?
Yeah.
Is this his last season?
Well, could be. You know, there's a lot of talk about it. But I have to say, man, since the moment I came here, if you see this guy, he's like a 25-year-old.
Wow.
Like, I'm talking physically, I'm talking in terms of like hunger. He wants to play. He wants to, you know, when he plays 70 minutes and he gets, you know, he comes off, he gets angry, you know, he wants to continue playing. Wow. And I think that's something that you don't usually see in players that age that have gone through a lot because he's played for the national team. He's been in other teams around the world. But he's hungry to play and you know, that says a lot from who he is and, you know, what he is as a player and as a legend here at the club.
You know, I got to ask you, so what's the weather like? Because they say it's like a bowl.
Yeah.
And it's hot. What's the weather right now?
Right. If I just see outside now, outside of my house, after 10 minutes, I need to take my shirt off.
Oh, my gosh. You know, because I was thinking, Hector, because you got back, because look how long. How old was you when you came here, Hector? You was like, what, 15?
16. Literally 10 years.
Right?
More than 10 years. Yeah.
Right. It was more than 10 years. So you kind of got used to our kind of like weather. And what's it like when you're back there and that's what you're really meant to be in?
I mean the thing is also, I mean, in Barcelona it's still really, really warm, but Seville is like different. It's like a microclimate not comparable to any other place in Spain. So obviously I was looking for I was looking forward to the heat, but I wasn't thinking that when it comes to like literally on the last week of the year I would be sunbathing. that was not in the plans. And that kind of got me worried a little bit, you know, with climate change and stuff like that. I was like, I don't know if this is good or not, but I was like, well, I'm here, I'm just going to enjoy it and take it all in, because it's been pretty crazy. Mm. It's been pretty crazy.
When you look at the fans, the passion of the fans, the fact that place is hotter than anywhere else in Spain, that must have something, that feeds into something to do with the fans and the way they are and the vociferous nature in which they both support their teams.
This city has like a story of itself, you know. I mean, the south of Spain, as it's really hot, there's always people in the streets. People here are like really not staying at home. People are always there. There's terraces where people sit down. There's always music playing.
Yep.
It's a very social city and people here are really social. They love talking to you. Like when I went to get my car, I only had to sign the papers. And I was there for 3 hours talking football, talking life. How's your family? Oh, your dad's a Betis fan. Da, 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 da. Like, that's how people are, you know. They're really open. They're really warm. They take you into the arms and you're just one of them from the moment that you get here. Mm. And that has something to do. And also like the music. I don't know if you guys know about flamenco, but flamenco is a music that is performed with a lot of passion. When people sing, they sing their voices like out, literally. And that's how people live their lives over here. They really know how to live, and passion is like really a big ingredient in everything they do in their lives. Also, resting and taking naps is very important in this city. Siestas are really important. If you call someone between 3 and 5 p.m., they're not going to pick up the phone. And if they do, they'll probably be angry at you.
Yeah.
But they're just things that only happen in this city or in this area. And I think that has also to do with the passion that people feel when they go into the game, into the stadium, and how, you know, they say hi to you in the street, mm-hmm. and the way they act towards you, you know. And I think it's beautiful to live that as a football player.
You know something, I'm pleased I could just hear in your voice. You just sound right. You know what I mean? I know with what was happening at Arsenal, there's so many injuries, you know, coming back, to listen to you now with the energy. It's like you've plugged back into a energy force, and it's really, I'm really pleased to hear it, Hector.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan.
So happy you're happy. You've been such an unbelievable servant for Arsenal. That, so to see you go back to a place that is so close to you, your heart, and get revitalized and rejuvenized by the energy and everything what goes on there, it makes me feel very, very happy, man.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate that. And you know, as a football player, sometimes it's not only about football, you know, it's about many other things. And for me, after being a decade in London, I really felt like I needed another challenge. Mm. And a lot of people know, for me, it wasn't about the money. It was about nothing else. I just needed to go into a place where I could feel and I could see myself being happy and playing my best football. Mm. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to come to the club that my dad supported since he was a kid. My grandma did, and I did when I was really young. And you know, when you play for a team that is a part of yourself and your family, when you put that shirt on, it's completely different, you know?
Yes, my
and
friend.
For me, Arsenal was also one of those teams, because even though, you know, I wasn't from London, but, you know, when I played FIFA, I played with Arsenal, I played with Thierry, I played with Pires, I played with Beckham, I played with you, you know? Wow. And it was a team that I used to play, so I felt like an instant connection when Arsenal told me that, you know, that they wanted me. So I was like, hell yeah, I want to go there. You know, if it would have been any other team in the UK, probably I wouldn't have felt that way. And that's why for me, when I put my shirt on, I'm like, I put it with a lot of pride, because it's more meaningful than just like, oh, this is the team that's paying me right now. Mm. No, this is the team that represents me, and I want to represent them. And that's why for me, this was like the perfect opportunity. And then I've been, you know, lucky enough to have a great coach, great teammates, and they've received me literally with open arms. And as you say, I'm finally back enjoying football in the same way that I used to do a few years ago, that I felt I wasn't doing.
As a person and as a human, like, you know, you moved to another country at such a young age, you essentially became like a Londoner.
The Spanish Roadmen, they called him. That's a brilliant name, bro. It's a great name.
Like, as a human being, and not as a professional footballer, just as a human, how has it felt at this stage of your life getting a different perspective and a very different city? Like, from a day-to-day point of view, like, never mind the football.
Well, if I want to give you like a proper answer, I have to go back a little bit until I was in the UK. For me, quarantine was a crazy moment in my life, because I went through literally all the stages I could have been in my life in the space of 3 months.
Yeah.
And I was really, really down for a long time. Then I was really high for another period of time. And I just had a lot of time to think. And I was like, look, this is a time where I know what I need for myself as a person. I'm not talking as a football player, I'm talking as a person, and what priorities I need in my life, you know, and not just, as I say, on the football pitch, but what do I need to do outside of it to be happy, you know, not to be happy, but to be content and to be in a position where I know I can be the best version of myself, and I can work on being the best in the football pitch and on being the best in all the stuff that I want to do outside the football pitch. And for me, being closer to my family was one of them.
Yeah.
Being closer to my roots was one of them, because I have to say that I never really missed Spain in the first 8-9 years that I was in London. But on the last year, I don't know if it was with COVID and everything, I was missing a lot of my country. I remember I was listening to flamenco music all the time. I was watching Spanish movies all the time. I was eating Spanish food all the time. And it was like, honestly, I was craving it, you know? Mm. And you know, I spoke to honestly. And I spoke to Mikel way before my loan, you know, and I said to Mikel, I mean, we had a good friendship before as teammates and then obviously as a coach and player. And I said to him, like, look, I feel like at this time, at this moment in my life, I need something else, you know? Mm. And I don't want to go anywhere like to win a lot of money or nothing. Mm. I just want to be closer to my family, closer to my country, and I want to live a better experience.
Wow.
And for me, that was a time, and this was before even the summer, that I turned off social media. I deleted all the apps from my phone, and I had the best summer in my life. Like, I literally spent a lot of time with my family without looking at my phone, with friends, beautiful experiences. And even when everything happened and I came here to Betis, I remember I posted a picture and that's it. And that was like, literally, I don't want to be in this world right now.
Right.
Because when I'm here, I'm missing literally what is here.
Yes.
And for me, it got to a point that I was like, I feel like I'm in a good mental state to get back to it with a complete different relationship to the one I had before. Mm. And now I'm active again on social media. I still don't post a lot. I post more stories than I used to post on my grid and stuff.
Mm.
But also because I'm busy, man. I'm like working on other things off the pitch, and I'm, you know, I got my routine on lock, and I don't want to be looking at my phone. I don't want to have something that is taking my focus out of my day to day right now. And I'm really enjoying that right now. I'm waking up early. I'm journaling. I'm writing. When I get home, I'm studying. I'm doing other things. I'm just like, and all this stuff is feeding me mentally to another level. And I think it shows also that on the pitch, everything is also coming together. Wow. And I feel in a good mental space that I don't want any outside noise to kind of get in.
Wow.
And it's not easy at times, I have to say. It's not easy at times because these apps and everything has made you to get addicted to it and to be on it all day. And, you know, I have days where I spend more time on my phone than I would like to and stuff. But definitely the relationship that I have with it is completely different to how it was before.
It's amazing to hear it like that.
Yeah, so I can totally relate to that in a sense, because like, I've been in Berlin since 2015. Never once thought about moving back to the UK until maybe it was kind of like midway through last year.
Yeah.
Listening to how that pandemic's kind of like that affected, well, it's affected everyone in the way it's affected yourself and affected you, Ryan, and myself, and how positively you've come out of that. Listening to, kind of not envious, but to know that you can leave here after doing so brilliantly here, go through what you was going through all that stuff, like you mentioned that 3 months, and then be able to go to a place where you can find what you've got now, the energy and everything. Honestly, I can't tell you how much I feel very happy for you, bro.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
I feel very happy for you. No, I feel very happy for you because there's a lot. That's a time you can feel very sorry for yourself. You can feel very vexed, very angry.
Yeah.
So I just was picturing you just literally just going back to Spain. Your house is just Spain. Everything what you're doing in your house is Spain.
Yeah.
And then going to the manager and letting the manager know this is, knowing you what you needed and you've got it now and you're doing it. You're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never actually been in that kind of position, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Where I've had that moment. The moment where no, I need this, I miss this, I miss that. Of course I miss my missus and my girls. But I'm not away from them like how you've had to live your life.
Yeah.
But like listening to you say all that, I was just like, wow.
It's
at
brave,
your age
man.
As well. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's brave as well.
Like, thank you. And, I think I was lucky as well that Mikel is someone very understanding, you know, and Mikel knew that there was nothing to do with football, with the club, with nothing. This is, I think as people, we go through cycles in our life, you know, and it's not because I don't want to play here anymore. It's just because this is not helping any of us, you know, because when I know that it's not my place where I need to be at that time, nothing works for each other, you know, and Mikel really understood that. He knows everything I've gone through at Arsenal, you know, my injuries, everything, every single episode. So, you know, I was very lucky that I could be open with him and we could have like a talk where he understood fully. And he said, you know, like, I want to help you as well. Like, not just as your coach, but also as like the friendship that we've had before and the respect that we have as people, you know, as professionals. Yes. And I was very happy that, you know, Arsenal gave me also that opportunity to find what I was looking for, that, you know, we could say that at that time it wasn't working for any of us. And you know, I had it pretty clear in my head what I needed. And yeah, I'm happy that, you know, it's kind of fulfilling itself, and you know, beautiful. I'm happy, and also Arsenal are doing amazing, you know, and that makes me so happy. And the player that they got in my position is doing great. And you know, there's like literally no hard feelings for me. It's beautiful to see, because I watch every single game. I want the guys to do well. And you know, it's just how football goes. You know, you also need to see when it's your time, when it's not, and what is best for you, what is best for the club. And I always say to the club, like, if I leave this place, I don't want to leave you guys without, for example, no one in my position or in a position where you guys, you know, are not in best terms. I was like, I want the best for all of us, because I've been here for 10 years and I love this place, you know, and it's worked out for everyone. And that's what truly shows me that it was the right thing to do. Mm. And as I say, it makes me really happy to see the guys doing well as well.
It's beautiful, X. So I just want Betis to do well. I'm so pleased that you're up there. I'm just going to keep such an eye on Seville and Betis for the rest of the season now.
Yes. And honestly, you guys have to come because
definitely coming, but we got to come. But we kind of come mob-handed. It's going to probably be, if we can go, it'd be all of us. It'd be me, Ryan, Musa, Carl, like Mayowa, Flo, Roscoe, Jeanette, because the whole house.
You will see, it's a beautiful city.
That's the thing. Everybody says about Sevilla, you've got to go to Sevilla. You know what I mean? So we're coming. We're coming.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful vibe. And it was a city that was a Muslim city for 1,000 years.
Was it?
Between the 500 and the 1,500s. So the whole architecture and everything is such a mix of like Spanish, Arab, everything. And I don't know, just as I said before, the people, the music, everything, the food over here, guys, you're gonna love it. So if you come, don't come just for a couple of days, because you're not gonna want to live, man.
That's what everyone says.
You're gonna
have
to cancel your trip.
It's like all of a sudden, honestly, it's just like Ian Wright in surprise moved to Seville.
To Seville, just because. I just want to say, Hector, you know, because I love you so much, Hector, I'm just so pleased you came on. I'm so pleased everything's going well. Listen to how you know, how happy you sound. You know what I mean?
Thank you, man.
Cannot tell you how happy I am for you, and I can't wait to see you. Are you coming back over here at some stage just to hang and chill or do at some stage?
I really wanted to come during Christmas. We had a week off, but then obviously the new wave came up, so I couldn't go. Mm. But mate, definitely London's still home for me, man. Mm. I still like really want to go. I have loads of people, and I miss it. You know, I love being here in Seville, but I do miss the people in London, especially. I do miss the boys. I do miss the club as well. I want to go up. I want to see the boys. I want to see you. I want to see all my friends and stuff, and just spend a few days in the city as well. So I'll definitely let you know when I'm back over there.
Well, good luck with it, Hector. Good luck for the rest of the season. I'm praying to God that you lot can finish it off. But and if even if you don't win the league, I just love you lot to just stay above Sevilla.
Thank you, man. And it's so good to see you, Ian. Honestly, man.
God bless you.
It's so good. And Ryan, so nice to meet you. And you, so good to have this chat.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
And I appreciate all the love, man.
Nah, man. Thanks, Hector, for being so frank with us and everything. I love it.
Of course. Anytime, man.
God bless you, eh?
God bless you, bro. Take care, guys.
Listen, guys, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Ryan Hahn. Thank you to Mr. Hector Bellerin, somebody who I've loved ever since he first came into the place at Arsenal when he was 16 years old. He's turned into a wonderful man. He's always been a wonderful person. He's turned into a wonderful man, a beautiful human being. And I'm glad you got to hear him today. And do not forget to check out Righty's House on Wednesday. We'll have loads more for you then.